Honolulu's Arts District, if you look online, it's described as a modern, exciting mecca of galleries, shops, theaters, nightclubs, and restaurants. Locals, however, know it as Chinatown. And recently, there's been a spotlight on frustration there with vandalism, theft, and uncontrolled behavior. Dr. Christina Wang has seen it all. She's a wound care director at Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center. She basically tries to keep people out of emergency rooms by treating them on the street, because a visit to a hospital emergency room can cost average $1,500 compared to about $20 on a street visit. And believe me, she and her team are appreciated. Wang pulled a cart with bandages, ointments, and sanitation supplies as she and her team started on their three-mile route. We picked our way around sleeping bags and people resting on that shady stone wall along Nu'uanu Stream there on River Street.
There's some things that are really familiar to us, but there's so many variability out on the street from day to day, and that really affects the overall community's mood. The weather matters, the police presence matters, what's happened down at the park, you know, affects just what's happening down the block, as you saw with the gentleman that had been assaulted. And, you know, it's always sad for me to hear that that's a normal part of their life and they just think that that's okay and that's normal. And, you know, that's always really concerning to someone like us that we don't experience that violence like they do on a routine basis. And that's a lot of trauma.
What do people run into? Tell me what they don't and can't tell me right now.
Oh, gosh. The ability to survive out here is just a constant stressor. So if you can imagine just not knowing where your next meal or your water or your shower is going to come from, even though we have a hygiene center, that's whirled away for these folks down here that wouldn't be able to walk down to Ala Park where we just were.
Why?
You're running into things that have like severe depression where you just feel like you can't move from your spot. You're worried about your belongings. You wouldn't have anybody that you could trust to watch them while you walk off somewhere. Some people are really stuck in their spot because they're dependent on the resources in their area. And that may include things like drugs or alcohol, and that people are very dependent on certain drugs and certain alcohol to prevent from going into withdrawal. You would stay in that area so you don't get really sick.
How did they pay for drugs and alcohol?
So there's a lot of barter services out here. So maybe you have something that somebody else wants, and that's one way. We still experience a lot of people who sex work, and we still work with a lot of people who may utilize, you know, other services they're getting, like EBT cards, to obtain what they're deeming as their medications. They're self-medicating. You have a lot of folks out here that might hear voices or see what we call auditory or visual hallucinations, and that's very scary to them. So to kind of quiet that activity in the brain, they seek out alcohol and substances to really deal with that.
How often do you see someone who's in a sort of a psychotic state or cannot communicate?
So actually there was a gentleman we just ran into who is normally that type of presentation. He's been in the hospital for the past 2 days, which is actually amazing. He's not a high ER or hospital utilizer. He would not normally go on his own volition. He was found down on the sidewalk 2 days ago, and when police officers asked him where he was, he said he had just arrived to Honolulu. He's actually been living in Hawaii for over 20 years from Ethiopia. And so he's very, very confused, and he was very dehydrated and had a series of electrolyte imbalances that was causing encephalopathy or confusion in his brain. So he actually is looking the best we've seen him in probably months, and he's just wearing that paper suit, got a wheelchair, and he's just basically asking for coffee right now. Good to see you. For a while, we were combating the bathroom closures, so there was nowhere for people to use the bathroom. And now that we have COVID in mind, restaurants that would normally let people come in to go to the bathroom, they closed, or they're trying to limit the number of people coming in. Or, you know, they've even hung signs saying, you know, you have to be a patron or a customer to use the bathroom. And over the last couple of years, we've seen the restaurants in this area putting lock codes on the bathroom. And that's made it extra challenging for our folks to use the restroom. And so then we get a lot of people using out here. And one of the concerns is hepatitis A outbreak. That is spread through fecal-oral transmission. So when people use the bathroom out on the streets and then they have nowhere to wash it away, people touch it, and then they end up inevitably touching their face and they get a hepatitis infection. While it's an acute situation and people will get better most of the time, makes them very ill and they have to go to the hospital to get treatment.
There's still nowhere to use the restroom.
There's nowhere for you and I to use the restroom right now.
There's nowhere to use the restroom here.
That's right. If you told me right now we need to stop during outreach and go to the bathroom, I would say we have to go beg basically a restaurant and or pull out cash to get a chance to use the bathroom. So that's why it's all over our sidewalks, and I wish I had a better answer for you. I think the Punavai rest stop has been a huge game changer for us, for people who can make it down there. But like I talked about earlier, for some people that's just not a reality. It could be a couple blocks away and feel like a world away for those people to be able to go to the bathroom.
What about Safe Haven? What about their restrooms?
So they do have shower services available there, which has been great.
And restrooms.
I know that during the time of COVID, we may have seen an increase in excrement on the street because they also had to close down the number of people coming in and out of their shower services and their toilets because they also had to be cleaning more intensively between uses.
Is that the only restroom, really, that
is
available?
Yes, ma'am. So right now, I'm the appointed Department of Health Medical Director for the Temporary Quarantine and Isolation Center. So those are for people who are homeless, unsheltered, experiencing COVID. We have 24/7 services down there, nurses, physicians.
How many people are patients there?
So we've served 69 as of today. The average length of stay is about 4 days, mostly because we are really successful in that right now I'm very proud to say 80% of the time of the patients that have come to our center, we've actually had them discharged not back to the streets, but to foster home, to shelter space, to temporary housing. I mean, 4 days just to be able to help somebody get a shower and meals and say, hey, we can help you tackle some of these medical concerns and look for a place that you can go to and not deal with the stressors and the trauma of the streets every day. That's a huge relief for people.
Are there some people who don't want that?
Yes. Let's be very clear. We have had a few people that have come into our center. They have a difficult time engaging or staying there, and they do wish to return to the street. And we don't hold anybody against their will unless they're a danger to themselves or others. That's when we reach out to our psychiatry friends to really help us. But otherwise, most people just really need a hand up, and they really can think clearer about what their long-term goals and plans are once they've had a shower and a meal. Basics.
Oh, you have a bone-thin man tipped over at the sidewalk and spilled out of his wheelchair, landing on his head. Christina knows him, and she rushed over there. Christina Wang is a nurse practitioner and wound care director at Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center.
Area code 703-894.
Just up Hotel Street a little bit past Nu'uanu is the Manifest, a whiskey bar made of wood and brick, and always on the walls there's art, often by a rising local tattooist or street artist. Co-owner Nicole Reed had her two-month-old Oliver Kamamalu on her hip when we talked on Zoom about life since COVID. She's accessed the aid she can find out there for her bar. She's reopened as allowed, but customers have been few and far between.
So it's a little nerve-wracking to basically accrue debt without any income, but we also know that the number one goal for us is to stay open. So we started doing deliveries, batch cocktails to go. We started doing that as well, but you know, none of it is gonna really do anything significant. It's like chewing gum with a toothache. It's not gonna go away, and we are just trying to figure out what it looks like to operate now post-COVID. And it's a delicate balance because, you know, we want to make money, but we need to keep people safe, which is two of our top priorities. But as a business owner too, everyone has such a varied opinion on what safe is. We're kind of caught in the middle where people who are hyper sensitive to it want certain standards, and people who don't care about it are kind of laughing if we try to uphold those standards. So it's a weird space to be in as a service provider right now, especially that, you know, we sell socialization. That's why people come to Manifest, is to socialize and share and dialogue. But if half of your seats are gone because of social distancing, it's just a new ballgame of how we make numbers work and how we continue to pay our bills and keep people employed, which is the main thing. Right now, we procured a PPP loan and an EIDL advance, but there was a point in time where it was like, I'm just going to give this money back, because if I have to pay, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 a month to pay this back. I can't even afford that. So I'm glad they changed it.
How much did you get?
We got $37,200 in a PPP and then $10,000 in an EIDL. So $47,200 altogether, which like on a good month where we were before, that was just a little over half of my operating expense for 1 month. So yeah, our operating expenses for this spot on a month, you know, product, personnel, insurance, rent, all of it was about $85,000. So if we're not making anywhere in that neighborhood, then it's really difficult to make it work.
This is just pointing out to me how brave you and Brandon are.
As a creative entrepreneur, you want to believe that what you're doing makes sense and that what you're offering does work. Your idea is good. And in situations like this, where there are mitigating circumstances that go beyond your control, it really does, I think, come down to that belief in your idea and whether or not you have the resources to withstand this. My husband and I, we have a saying between the two of us, and it's legs feed the wolf. If you watch a wolf hunt any prey, they go after the slow ones. But if you have legs and you have stamina, you can watch a deer outrun a wolf. They do it all the time. But you have to have the legs to run faster for a long time. So it's something where we're personally invested, our family's invested. This is a small business, you know, with a working couple that's local. So we're just trying to wait it out.
You know, Manifest does stand apart in the, you know, the pantheon of great bars in Honolulu. What was your idea?
My husband had worked at Bar 35 across the street for about 5 years. And his father had passed away when he was a young man and left him a small amount of money. And he was across the street looking out the window at this spot, which was blank. And it just so happened that I was working at a retail shop and my good friend there was also a painter. And he lamented that for local young artists that need a really heavily trafficked ground floor space, galleries tend to be really detrimental to your development. So my husband, being an entrepreneur, was like, well, I'll just open a bar that shows art. So that was our entire premise, was that we wanted to have a bar that had tall walls, that we could show our friends art and have space to have art shows for people that we hadn't seen art shows occurring for locally. And we had seen it working on the mainland in different venues, and it just made sense to us to take this money and give it a gamble. So we got a SBA loan, and yeah, everyone thought we were crazy because we were going to be open during the day. We're going to have coffee. We're not just going to be a late night bar. And that's kind of the genesis of it. We wanted to have a space for art with our friends. I'm so spoiled, Noy. My house is just full of beautiful art that otherwise I would have never, you know, interacted with. And we've shown over 120 artists over 10 years. It really came down to us wanting to create that space that we didn't see for ourselves here, being local kids. We wanted it here so that we could stay, not have to go somewhere else.
Did you both grow up here?
Yes. Brandon's from Kaimuki. He's a Kalani grad. I lived all over the island with my parents, but I graduated from Priory and then from UH. So I met Brandon in college, and it's funny because we were going to either take that money and go somewhere else, and he was going to bartend and I was going to go to grad school. But we decided, okay, we'll put all that off and just try running a bar. And 10 years later and two babies deep. So we have two broken windows right now that we have to get fixed. And that's going to probably be like, you know, $1,000 between the two of them. And yeah, there's just homeless people in doorways again, defecating, trash everywhere. And there's only so much the police can do, you know. They're not mental health advocates by any stretch. So
I just got finished talking to Chulon and to Lee Stack about the increasing problems with that. What do you conclude is the answer there?
I think the number one issue we have in Hawaii with houselessness is our housing. It's not affordable. And we can continue having these programs to take people's rights away, to get them into facilities and force them treatment, and I'm sure it will work for a certain amount of people, but I do not think it is a critical mass type solution. We're going to continue to have people having their problems on the street as long as the issue that keeps them on the street is financial difference. If you're mentally ill but you can afford a house, then you can have your mental issues in your house and no one cares. But if you have your mental issues on the street, everybody's upset, which I agree with and I understand, but we got to have affordable housing for people to go to, and not just shelters where there's a ton of rules and stipulations, where they can't take their animals or their family or their partner. We need to radically relook at how we value housing in Hawaii. Otherwise, Chinatown will continue to be the source where they go to because we have the most outreach. I understand that it's a burden. Trust me, I do. But I don't know. I think I take it personally, too, because my husband's grandmother was mentally ill and she lived on the streets in Chinatown for a number of years. And we would find her under our building, you know, and it wasn't for lack of trying to get her in a house. She's mentally ill. So to do that, we had to sign her into state protection, and then they were able to put her into a nice facility. I see where we could try to utilize that more often, but that's not the solution. That's one measure to help mitigate. It's just like putting Band-Aids on a gaping wound, because Chinatown has continually bore the burden for the rest of the island, at least, to be that place where they can get services like food and a shower and some help. I don't know. There's just got to be space for people. We cannot keep pretending to push them off or put them places. They need to have space and they need to be humanized.
Well, how could you see it? Things coming together for the whole neighborhood.
The future, I think, will be based on who's around. I hope we're a part of it. I hope Sandy's a part of it. I hope Murphy's a part of it. I hope all of the people that have the ability to figure out how to stay can do that. But if not, you know, Noi, the one thing that's true about this area is Chinatown has been in business since before this place was even known by Haole people. So it'll continue to have business. It'll continue to find people that want to try an idea. That will determine what the next phase of this community looks like. I hope the pilot project with the seating outside, I hope it leads to the buses being reallocated to Beretania and King, and that we get a pedestrian bicycle way down Hotel, which is what we've all been wanting for a long time. I hope that Hotel Will Fats opens up, because it would be great to have a boutique hotel to even have just 100 extra bodies down in this neighborhood Monday through Sunday. And I think at that point, you're going to see the businesses with the resurgence begin to try to do daring things where people can come down and socialize again in their city center, which is the whole reason why we opened this spot.
I love that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me too that says, you know, there is a specific face that a certain amount of dereliction gives. Like, if we continually clean it up and there isn't a mixture of peoples in the area, you know, I don't think the Chinese societies will last if prices go up and rents and values skyrocket. I don't think people are going to be able to continue their way of life in a lot of ways. So there's always been part of me, Noi, where I'm kind of grateful for just a little bit of dirt.
Yeah, I know.
I'm grateful for the reality that this place brings.
Know exactly what you mean, Nicole. Nicole Reed, co-owner, The Manifest Art and Whiskey Bar, Chinatown, Honolulu. Stitch my eyes, plug my ears, throw your life down till I don't make a show. The group you're hearing is Spooky Couch, denizens of Chinatown at Downbeat, for example. Well, there have been changes in Chinatown recently. Police are increasing patrols on Kekalike Mall. There's brighter lighting planned for that area, and there's greenery in the derelict planters. Harrison Rue is Honolulu's community building and transit-oriented development administrator. He's been around for more than a decade of Chinatown visioning.
You're aware in Chinatown, there's all kinds of issues that keep recurring. And the COVID-related issues just by having less people in the offices, less people working there, less people going out for lunch because they're working from home and not in the office. That has exacerbated lack of customers. And so a lot of cities are trying to come back from the, you know, work from home and work at home and general shutdown and lockdown. They want to make it easier for people to go outside and walk and exercise and do that sort of stuff. So the whole open streets idea is a part of that nationally.
What was it like talking to the restaurants? What have they said about their recent experience?
A range of different things. Almost all of them are somewhere between excited, grateful, hopeful, a little worried. One of the 14 I talked to had closed and not coming back in that location. That was unfortunate to hear. Six of them have already registered for the outdoor dining. A few weeks ago, the city announced that you're now allowed to set out tables and chairs on city sidewalks. It hasn't been permitted, but Kathy Sohugawa at DPP and John Uchi at DTS collaborated to make it. It's not even a permit required. You just literally have to go to an online form at the city and just register so that we know where it's happening. We know that you've read the rules. If you want to just try it Saturday, since we're closing the street down, if you try it and like it Saturday, then you can go online and register. Again, we've made it really easy. A permit is not required.
That is so cool, Harrison. I mean, how does it feel to be enabling so much?
Trying to earn our salaries here. We're deeply appreciative of, you know, of being able to continue working. And you know, we're hopeful that if it works and people like it, it's something that can continue. Right now, that is only during any COVID-related emergency, which seems to be going on for a while. But we're hopeful that it will work and people like it and, you know, certain streets can continue to do it.
That's Harrison Rue, Honolulu's Community Building and Transit-Oriented Development Administrator, and he's talking about the Open Streets Initiative. It's still on for Saturday. Hotel Street is still on open for pedestrians between 5 and 9 p.m. There'll be sidewalk dining, and Louis Pohl Gallery will be open. Arts at Marks will be open. Hawaii Theater Art Gallery will be there, and a perfect time to check out the Downtown Arts Center as well. There has been an increase in policing down there. Security guards are in place, and they will be at least until December. So things are changing. As far as we know, Open Street, Hotel Street is still on for Saturday from 5 to 9. Shops will be open until 6. You can bike with the family and enjoy the new murals.